Guys, you hear me say all the time that males and men are different. Male by birth, men by choice. But what are those differences? One of those differences is this: men show up. Today, you're going to find out more of what that means in our interview with Kids Outdoor Zone founder, TJ Greeney. You will walk away from today's episode with one practical way that you can make a massive difference, not only in the life of a young boy, but change your life in the process.
It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who was actually in the arena, whose face is marked by dust and sweat and blood.
Welcome to the Men in the Arena podcast, sponsored by Mountain Tough Fitness Lab, where we interview specialists in the realm of manhood. Each of our guests is an expert in their chosen field or cause as it relates to men. Our conviction is to call you into the arena of manhood, call you out of the faceless, nameless bleachers, and call you up to be the best version of you. Because when a man gets it, everyone wins. Enjoy today's episode.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul says, I discipline my body and make it my slave. You know, we often forget, guys, that God has called us to steward the bodies he gave us so that we'll be ready, healthy, and spiritually dangerous to fight the good fight, whether it's working at your job, serving your God, protecting your bride, or being a great dad to your kids. That's why we're so excited to partner with Mountain Tough Fitness Lab. Mountain Tough Fitness Lab is run by Christian men who are passionate about training you to be your best version and to stay dangerous and ready for God. Join me on my journey by going to mountaintough.com. That's MTNTOUGH and getting your free 6-week trial when you type in the code ARENA30. You won't be disappointed. Stay dangerous. What type of dad are you? Guys, in my 35 years of ministry, I've noticed that guys basically fall into two categories. And in those categories, there are four types of dad or four phases that you pass through as a dad. We just dropped an amazing quiz to help you discover what type of dad you are. Find out what type of father you are and get our custom resources fit to meet the needs and the questions you are asking. Head on over to menarena.org. Join 20,000 men from around the world and find out the type of dad you are. Men in the Arena Army, we salute you. Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of the Men in the Arena podcast. I'm Jim Ramos, your guide and your host, leading you to the best version of yourself in the stress bubble of life and beyond. Welcome to Spotify's number one podcast for Christian men. But before we get into this episode, I want to unleash one of our hero stories for this year. You know, as you guys know, we seek to gather one hero story for every day of the year. And man, we are having them flooding in from all over the world. This is number 36 this year. It came from Alex. He lives in Oregon. And he said this. He said, I was raised without a father. And 2 years ago, I gave my life to Christ. This ministry has completely changed my life. And I got to have coffee and breakfast with him. And man, it's really cool to see what God is doing in his life. So thanks, Alex, for being a man in the arena. Hit us up. We want to send you some swag just to say thanks. Hey guys, make sure you stay tuned all the way to the end of the episode and I unleash one of my favorite man laws from my free book, Man Laws, 101 Ways to Get Your Man Card Revoked and Rules to Live By. That's a free resource that you can get if you hit us up at menandarena.org. Guys, I'm super excited to bring my guest on the show today, TJ Greeney. TJ Greeney lives in Texas with his beautiful wife of over 31 years, Sandra. TJ is the past president of the Outdoor Writers Association. He published a Texas lifestyle magazine for 25 years where he hosted the number one outdoor radio show in Texas. On top of that, TJ is the founder of the Kids Outdoor Zone, aka KOZ. It is the fastest growing outdoor ministry for the men of the church. Their mission is to fatherless boys, fathers, and sons of the community. KOZ provides the men of your church with training curriculum to mentor boys using outdoor adventure. This ministry is exploding across the country. I'm so excited to get TJ on the show today. Hey, TJ, it's great to have you on the show, man. I've seen you over the years traveling around at different conferences, and we have a lot of similar DNA, and any man who's got a bow and a couple dead animals in the background is a friend of mine. How you doing, man?
I love that. Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here, and this is a long time coming. You and I've been doing everything but hanging out.
Yep, that is true, man. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking at those pigs on the wall because that's a Texas thing. That's actually a California thing, and I'm looking at the AR-15 and a helicopter program.
Oh man, we have a ranch that you're welcome to come to and kill all the pigs you want. And there's a helicopter hog eradication team. You know, you can pay to fly on the helicopter and kill hogs right near. I mean, Matt, they'd probably land at the ranch and pick you up and take you away.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't realize you had a ranch. Well, hey, let's jump into this thing because we have more things in common than I thought initially. On my 13th birthday, my parents sat me down and gave us the "it's not your kids' fault we're getting a divorce" speech.
Oh, man.
So why don't you do this, TJ? Why don't you like go back to your childhood in Houston, Texas, and how early life was and the things that kind of hit you and kind of formed you into the man that you are today?
Well, boy, we don't have time to talk about everything that formed me into the guy I am today. But so I too, at the age of 13, was, my parents made the decision to divorce. My father chose a bottle of rum over his family. And my mom took my three little brothers and sisters and moved 1,000 miles away from Houston to a small town in Illinois. And, I had one night left in the rental house in the neighborhood we were living in. And then I moved out onto the streets and I spent the summer wandering the streets, came full all the way around. I mean, there was a places like, you know, I spent the night in the woods that I knew. And, back in the day, there was Goodwill would have boxes in church parking lots. And I found one I could jimmy open and I could sleep in this Goodwill box. And it was pretty cushy because there's always, you know, used clothes and stuff in there. But come first day of high school, all my buddies were getting on the bus. So I got on the bus and rode to high school with them. And, should have been a special day, right? Should have been a big day. And the bell rang and they all went to lockers and then they went to classes. And I stood in the hallway without any registration, without any paperwork, without any, I wasn't signed up and I had no way to call and figure it out or have somebody call for me. And I went and I left there and I went out onto the streets and I spent a lot of years on the streets, just making really poor choices, doing a lot of things that a lot of guys do or did in our age bracket and kids today, it's even worse, but, became very good at chemical agriculture sales and distribution. That's a joke.
Marijuana.
I don't confess to anything out loud, but you know, I told that joke at a small church in the middle of Illinois in cornfields all the way around. And all the guys looked at me and nobody laughed. And they said, all of us are in chemical and ag sales. We're in the farm belt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You tell it in the city, it's got a different meaning. But anyway, I made a whole bunch of really poor choices and did a lot of things. And, but eventually I did sober up. And, I remember there was one point where, I was on the streets, living on the streets. And this guy I was hanging with, his parents found out I was on the street. So they invited me to stay in a room in their house. They said, "Hey, you can come stay in this room. It's an empty room and you can eat here, keep clothes clean. And it was a horrible decision on their part because I was a horrible influence on their son. But to me, it was a no-brainer. But the only caveat to the whole thing was they said, "You have to go to church with us on Sunday." And I thought, I've done, you know, I kind of grew up Catholic. So I knew it's an hour up, down, on your knees, all around, out the door, and it's over. It was a no-brainer for the benefits. But I went, and it was a small church. It was called Almeda Bible Church. And I saw things in that church. Those people were different than anything I had ever experienced. They talked about Jesus. They were friendly. They were a family. They loved each other. They did meals together. And there was this one young guy there. Well, I say young, he's probably in his 30s, early 30s, maybe late 20s. His name was Terry Moyer. And he used to come over to me on Sundays and just talk to me and eventually mentored me. And I asked for Jesus in my heart and got baptized. And so it was a big deal, right? But it was just a couple of weeks after that that I chose the darkness and I left. And I left the home and I left everything. So it was a really short period of time. But that short period of time, that influence, those words he said to me, and that memory of this church where people loved each other. So when I was getting married, my wife and I wanted to raise our kids in that, right? I remembered what that was and I longed for it. And I was, I knew that was a good place to raise your family. So anyway, that's kind of how I went from on the streets to married and moving
Wow.
along.
That's a cool story. When you were telling the story about you may or may not have been selling marijuana, I thought of the movie Stripes when he said, convicted? No. A felony? Convicted? No. Anyway, well, so what inspired you to, when did you start KOZ, and what inspired you to launch this organization from scratch?
So great question. So when we got married, we decided we wanted to join a church, right? So we became members of a small little Bible church in Austin, Texas, started raising our kids. And man, I jumped in. It was everything, right? It was everything I wanted. I was the go-to guy. I mean, you need somebody to stay late and put up chairs, I'll do it. You need somebody to park cars, hey, I'll do it. Somebody there early, I'm in. You need somebody for men's breakfast, I'll do it. What do you need? I did anything, right? Because it was the place where my heart started to feel like I was a part of. Like a man, I'm gonna start crying talking about it. I felt like I had a family.
For sure. Yep.
And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And one day I was standing in the hallway during services, and the director of Sunday schools came running up to me and she said, TJ, TJ, the 3rd to 5th grade boys Sunday school teacher didn't show up today. Can you fill in? And I said, I didn't realize at the time that directors for Sunday schools, they'll lure you in with this, hey, just one Sunday
I'm
and you're
desperate.
there for 3 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And but I went over there and man, I didn't have any clue what to do, but I fell in love with these boys, right? And so I started filling in for them. And the problem that I had was I couldn't figure out the curriculum. I mean, they emailed you stuff, you showed up with a packet, they had all these meetings and all this stuff, and I'm like, I just can't figure it out. So I would take my little boys and I would grab the virtue and the scripture out of the curriculum for the Sunday, and we'd go outside in the courtyard under the trees or in the grass, and I'd make up hunting and fishing stories, and I'd insert the scripture and the virtue. And we had, and it ended up growing to be the largest Sunday school class in the church. The director of Sunday schools was so frustrated with me. She'd go, like, I don't know what bear hunting has to do with your class, but you have captured the little boys. And they would have friends spend the night just to come to the Sunday school class with them. And it grew so fast that I was like, okay, I needed some buddies to help me. So I would find my buddies that are, sitting on the back row of the church. And I'd say, dude, come help me. It's like super simple. Just come hang out. And so we kind of had this core group of guys, and we were doing some stuff. It was fun. We loved it. And one Sunday we were standing there and we thought, hey, what if we invited these boys to go fishing at the pond down the street? And we just next Saturday, just invite them. I mean, and we weren't looking like, oh, we're going to rescue these boys. We're going to baptize them on that set. It was just like we liked hanging out with them. We loved the time with them. And so we put the invitation out there to their parents when they picked them up. And the next Saturday, they all showed up. And the single moms were very intentional. We invited the little boys from our neighborhoods that were single mom little boys with. And they didn't go to our church, but the little boys came and they showed up. And so, man, we had this beautiful day. And And so we just said, you know, why don't we just like do this once a month and just for fun? I mean, we're not doing ministry. Let's just do something fun with the boys. So we started doing these Saturday mornings once a month with the boys. We'd go hiking or maybe even shooting or something. And then we started realizing, man, we need to, maybe we could be a little more intentional. Maybe we talk about being good to your mom, you know, maybe we could talk about God. And we started being intentional and kind of knitting some things together that we knew God was saying to us, you know, like be mindful of this time I'm giving you with these boys. And man, it just turned out to be this beautiful one Saturday a month deal. And that's how it started. Just, it was an unintentional encounter with God and men and boys.
And what year was that, TJ?
It was about 15 years ago.
And so what's your reach? What's your reach now?
So we're in 36 states, Canada and Eastern Europe.
Holy cow.
I just heard today that they translated our training manual in Ukraine and Rome in Ukrainian for some churches in Ukraine.
Wow. Do you think that the explosive growth not only is a Holy Spirit thing, but do you think it's in response to some of these other organizations out there that have kind of gone rogue in recent years with the transgender and the homosexual issue? Is that something that you are assuming or thinking, or are you thinking it's just a desperate need for moms, single moms with sons to get help?
So I'm sure there's some of that in there. I'm sure we got some of those guys looking for a new way to do God's work. But so last summer, this is beautiful. I had a group of boys from around the country. We all met in New Mexico, just outside of Taos, New Mexico, in the mountains. A lot of boys have never walked uneven ground, right? They have no clue. So I just invited different leaders from around the country. Hey, I'm going to go rent this campground, bring some boys up. We had some boys up there. And one night we're sitting around the campfire and under the stars, right? This just one guy's playing his guitar and we're just like, man, just soaking this mountain air in July. And I get a text from Rick McGee. He's my right-hand guy. He's out of Lynchburg and he's in Moldova training our first group in Eastern Europe. I mean, we just like God said, go, he went because he's been over there. He's done that stuff before. And he sends me a picture and it's a picture. Oh man. It's a picture of a group of men and a group of boys in Moldova 3 days after he trained them, sitting around a campfire in a circle under the stars.
No way.
And what I realized was that men are men.
Yep.
And boys are boys. Men long to have a purpose and a meaning, and boys long to sit under the ancient training of a man. And I think men, man, and you know, you and I both know men's ministry is the worst. I mean, get a guy off the couch. Come on. I mean, it is your mantra, right?
Yep,
you
know, yep.
I watch all your stuff. You know, I know what you're saying. It's like, guys, just go
get off the couch.
Come on. You're going to choose that basketball game over, oh, you just don't. And so anyway, I just was broken at that moment. And God just really revealed to us again, after all these years, you know, fresh revival is just men are men and men are made for this. And they need a mission. They need something. And it just tied us in that much more to just go out there and where are the men? And offer it to them.
Well, that brings me another point. So you keep saying men, men, men. Initially, when you look at your site and your name is Kids Outdoor Zone, it appears it's almost like it's a veneer. It almost looks like a kids ministry, but it is not a kids ministry. Can you explain that it is actually a men's ministry?
Yeah, I know. Look, I know it's Kids Outdoor Zone and it's boys only, right? It's
yeah,
monogender male at birth only, period. That's the way it rolls. And but you know, so KOZ is our little abbreviated, the kids outdoor zone. It's abbreviated as KOZ, and I don't know what to tell you except our what we saw and what we were doing was, we can't tell you. I mean, I can't tell you how many men. I got an email today from a guy who's like, I can't tell you what this ministry has done for me. It's changed my life. It's changed my relationship with my wife, my kids, my family, my church. It has changed my life. You put a sword in my hand and a mission. You told me where to go to fight and how to do it. And so that's when we realized this is really a men's ministry, because without the men, there is no rescue of the boys. You can have all the kids programs you want, but without somebody implementing the battle cry and the soldiers showing up, you got nothing.
Well, and
You know, without
oh,
cowboys,
totally.
you ain't got no rodeo.
Well, for sure. And it's really funny. You talk about your Sunday school class. You probably grew that class so fast. Not only were you outside, but you're probably the only man in the church doing Sunday school. And there's such
It
a
was
desperate. Am I right?
that's you're right. And I in my little church now here, it's like my wife and I were talking about it the other day. She said, honey, please send some men. It's just, and I went in and I watched one Sunday school class, and they were doing, you know, and I love my church. This is the church where I walk in and it, and I feel the family, right? And she said, we need some guys. So I started telling my guys, I said, like, somebody, and some of the young guys, man, they went over there and they're showing up on Sunday morning and they're loving it. And I don't expect them to have an encounter like we might at, you know, on a, you know, mountaintop with some men or something. It's part of the job that we need to do. I mean, we have to park the cars, we have to pass the plates. Some of us are going to be deacons and all that kind of stuff. But that ain't what I'm talking about when you step into the fight, like doing KOZ or doing something else where, man, you're one-on-one. Satan thinks he owns those street kids, and that's not true.
Yep, for sure. No, that's so powerful, man. Well, so this is a ministry to men. It's a ministry that happens outdoors. It's a ministry that happens with boys. So let's talk about what the ministry actually does. So I'm a guy, I listen to this podcast. The goal for me today is that we have guys all around the country, all around the world saying, "Hey, yes to KOZ. I want to start a KOZ club or branch in my area." So what happens? Walk us through the process. What happens at a church that has KOZ or a community that has KOZ?
Okay, so a guy encounters his heart, right?
Yes.
He watches one of your podcasts. He watches one of your Instagrams. He goes to a conference somewhere and he encounters his heart. And then the question for him is, what now? What now? Is it just, do I have to read a book? What do I have to do? And I'm saying, no. Here's what you can do. You can go on the kidsoutdoorzone.com. Go to kidsoutdoorzone.com. Click on start a group. Watch a couple of the videos. They're right there. Super simple. If I can do it, anybody can do it, right? Super simple. Watch a couple of videos. If it speaks to you, then click on start a group. You'll fill out a little bit of information, and then somebody's going to call you. And they're going to say, what can I do to help you? Tell me your story. Well, let's get you lined up. Then they pay, I think it's $300 or $299 or $300 or something like that. Very minimal. And they get a whole box sent to them. It's got a KOZ flag. It's got 10 training manuals. It's got all the passwords to watch all the training material. They get this box. Then they rally a couple of their buddies together, two, four, six, eight, 10 guys, right? Then they plan a Friday night dinner with their wives. So in our training, the men who are going to volunteer sit down on a Friday night with their wives. They do a little dinner and they watch a video with me and Sandra, my wife. Men will not be successful in battle if their wives don't know what they're stepping into. They have absolutely have to have your wife understand the depth of the fight, because otherwise she's going to plan a trip to her mother's house and like, why aren't you coming, you horrible man? Well, no, he's got KOZ and there's 10 boys showing up that don't have dads. We're going to go after lunch when he's finished on that Saturday. So the wife is included in that. We love on the wives. Our wives team loves on them really well. And then the next day, the guys get together. They eat some bacon and they watch, they go through the training manual and they watch a series of videos that has movie clips and everything. And I walk them through why you do it, how you do it, where Jesus fits in this thing, and how to use the curriculum. So the next, on Saturday, they do Friday night with their wives. Saturday, they get together, they watch a series of videos, they go through the workbook, tells them where, how, why, everything they need to know. And then at the end of that, they get their certificates and their dog tags, and they pick out what Saturday a month, and it's one Saturday morning a month that they're going to meet with the boys. We tell them how to find the boys. We train them with all that. But typically second Saturday of every month from 8 to 1. And they go online, they download the curriculum for June, July, August, whatever month it is they start. And it walks them through what to do at 8 o'clock, what to do at 8:30, what to do at 9. And it's got suggested activities. And every month is a different topic. Could be archery, could be tools, could be shooting sports, fishing, camping, survival. Every month it's a different topic. And super simple. And they just commit to doing it, showing up on that Saturday. The biggest win for this is where we start seeing the real win for the men and the boys is that those men say they're going to do it and they do it.
Yeah, for sure.
They say, I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock on the second Saturday of every month. And Bobby, if you show up, I'm going to be there.
Yeah, because
a lot of
these guys, kids showing up, their dads don't show up.
That's it.
So the worst thing you can do is show up or not show up.
That's exactly it. I tell the guys, if you do this a couple of months and you decide not to do it anymore, go to the group and tell the boys that you're not going to be there anymore. Show the boys how a man leaves.
Yep.
As
yep.
Well, right? Like go in front of them. I had a guy, man, I had a guy who was like a leader for 3 years and then he said, I don't want to do it anymore. And I was like ready to get in a fist fight with him. Like, go tell him you're not going to be there anymore.
Yeah, for sure. How hard is it?
It's what a man does. It's teaching them, you know, men show up when they say they're going to show up. Men talk about what they're doing and they share it with the people that it's important with. Anyway.
Well, you know, don't get me going. Well, it's sickening how weak sauce guys are. And even today, it's when we talk about showing up, I'm talking about, if I text you, if I call you, if I email you, email me back. Don't ghost me.
Oh,
show up.
Gosh.
You know, in John 4, we see Jesus. He's going from Judea all the way up into Galilee. He crosses through Samaria. He stops at a well. He'd been walking 10, 20 miles. He sits down. The Bible says the disciples went into town to get water, get food. Jesus, weary from the journey, sits down and asks a woman for water. So he's tired, he's hungry, and he's thirsty. The Bible says that in the first 8 verses. But the thing that Jesus did that a lot of these males out there don't do is he showed up. He showed up. You don't have to be good. You just have to be there.
You know, there you are. That is so key. That is such a word for what we're talking about. So in KOZ, I got guys in their 70s that are leading KOZ groups. They're not doing the heavy lifting, but they're showing up. Robert Lewis told me one time, the reason why the Better Man program works so well, and it was brilliant. It was like, boom, my brain opened. He said, the trick is to get a senior level, to get a king or a sage, to get a sage to invite some kings and some young guys to sit at my table with me. Because those young guys want to sit under the authority of that seasoned sage, right? And when you have, and so I see these KOZ groups that are just killing it. And you see the 60, 70-year-old guy, then some 30, 40s, and maybe a 20-year-old couple of those guys. And the boys, oh man, I'm going to cry. The boys from the community come in and they're sitting under the authority and the training and the beauty of those men, which is how it was designed.
For sure. Well, and the funny part is, there used to be this thought, I'm 60 years old. I'm too old. I'm 70. I'm going to tell you something. 70 is the new 40. It really is. And this younger generation is growing up without parents, which means they're growing up without grandparents, and they are hungry for any man who is willing to show up. I'm 100% convinced of it.
I love that. I love that. You're absolutely, absolutely right. And the boys just absolutely long for it. I mean, they long for it. And you don't have to be a biblical scholar. Look, I am far from a biblical scholar. But my heart, like every man's heart, is designed to train up the next generation of young men. And it might just be showing up. You may be the guy who makes lunches at KOZ. But you know what happens while you're over there after a few months? One of those little boys who really doesn't feel like he's going to come over and he's going to hang out. Can I help?
Yep.
And all he's going to want to do is come see Mr. Bob, who is in charge of the lunch and the food, and he's going to want to, and I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over again. Life change. Boom. Yeah. For the man and the boy.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was a youth pastor for 25 years, and every event, you always have those one or two kids that always want to help, and you realize that they don't want to. I mean, they want to help, but they want to sit around and hang out with you. They want to have the relationship. And the funny part, I'm wondering if you see this. You know, when you're dealing with a ministry to boys in this broken world, word spreads fast in your community. It doesn't take long for it to move way beyond the church doors. Am I right?
And we've have to be careful. I mean, I get leaders that want to go to the school district and say, hey, we're doing this thing. And I got to say, whoa. You know, you can do so many boys kind of look at, we don't do one-on-one. I mean, you can give me 10 boys and we go marching in the woods. We'll be fine.
For sure.
But you know, we try and get as many, but you got to be careful. The world, when single moms find out there's some men out there, man, they're bringing their boy. They're like, oh my gosh, please. Yes. Big brothers and big sisters. I read some stats the other day, 30% drop in men volunteering, that they're assigning women to mentor boys. That used to be where you went.
Can't do
it. But you know what it is? What it is? A big part of it is guys won't do the training. They won't do all that it takes to be a big brother and big sister.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. You keep talking about men and boys, and I'll tell you what, there's a group in between that I call them males, and males really are the problem. But men are the solution. So the males don't show up. The males are anonymous in the stands of the church. You know, you're looking for men to step into this role. And I'm surprised, quite frankly. I thought it was a weekly thing. Monthly, you're talking 12 times a year. That is not a massive commitment for a man. 12 times a year, you've already got the curriculum. You said to me earlier offline that you have how many years worth of curriculum for these men?
We have 10 years worth of curriculum. You take a boy from 8 to 18, and every month a different topic, different scripture, different conversation with the boys.
So you've got, so this KOZ, the guys graduate out of the program at 18.
Yeah, hopefully by 18, they're going into what we call LITs, leader in training.
For sure.
And they're coming back to be helpers. And then eventually we're getting young guys, 18, 20, that are coming back doing the adult training, the Harvest Team Leader, HTL training. And, man, it just changed their life. They're not giving up. They're not leaving. They won't leave.
So, okay. So I'm a dude listening to this podcast. I live in a city of 500,000 or more. And I'm thinking, oh, that's cool, this outdoor thing, but I'm in the city. What do you say to that guy?
I say, yeah, well, I started in Austin, Texas. So it started in the city. There's a park, there's a green space, you know, take a trip, whatever. If you want it, you'll figure it out. You're a guy. You'll go find a drainage ditch. You'll find a lone tree in the middle of a park. You'll figure it out. It you know, there's an archery range somewhere. There's a shooting range somewhere. We just posted a video on YouTube, and it's out of Indiana, and it's all African American guys, and they're just pouring into these boys. They're doing all outdoor stuff, dude. And you're just like, wait, no, that can't be. What? No, dude, they are feeding the heart and spirit of every guy. And you know, they have this whole thing, like, if it doesn't have a basketball, it won't work in the inner city. Well, there's some of that, you know, the guy teaching the boy, the one-on-one, I get it. That's beautiful, man. Go do that. But boy, I bet you there's very few boys that if you say, hey, let's go fishing, that don't go, yes, please. How? What? What is that? How? Well, come on.
There's such a need. And I go back to something I read years ago, that God created men in the wilderness, and then he brought them into the garden where he created Eve. And men have been trying to escape the wilderness ever since. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been born. We all have a desire to get out in the wide open spaces. It's just the way God made men. You talked about being under the stars. I remember hunting mule deer. We backpacked into a place in northern New Mexico, and we're backpacked in. We're at 7,800 feet elevation, staring at the New Mexico stars, and it's surreal. You know, and it's just what God has made us for, to get out there and to explore an adventure. And I think what you're doing is so good, because I think that whenever a child walks in the room, we are on holy ground. Everything should stop. We should put attention on that child, because that child has a lifetime ahead of him or her to become the man or woman of God that they've been called to be. And we need to stop and recognize we're on holy ground. And so with what you're doing, you have a ministry that is built on holy ground, whether that's in New Mexico or Chicago City. You know, that's what you're doing. So I really appreciate what you're doing, man. I really love.
Hey, can I share two more quick things?
Yeah, you sure can.
Real quick.
Yeah.
So here's the challenge to the men out there and the pastors and ministry leaders. In John chapter 21, Jesus is gone. He's come back twice and met the guys in the upper room. And now he's gone again after his two visits, and the guys go stir crazy, right? And Peter just says, I gotta go where my brain is clear, right? So a bunch of them load up, they go down to his fish camp, they get in some boats, fish all night. They don't catch anything. You know, they're poking at each other, they're irritated, aggravated. You know, that's gotta be happening. It's a bunch of guys, right? They're rowing back in, and I know you know this story. And they're rowing back in, and some guy on shore says, hey, did you catch anything? Well, the one thing that the guys who fish all night don't want to hear, you know, it's what your friend would say to you, to just poke you, right? And so then he's, you know, says, drop your nets. Peter knows it. He jumps in the water, swims to shore. Those guys pull the nets up with all the fish. And Jesus is standing there. He says, bring some of that fish over here and put it on this fire. He's already got a fire. He's already got fish cooking. And it's sunrise on the lake with his closest friends. And they're all sitting there and they're looking at him in awe, obviously. I mean, it's like, he's here. He's here. And then he does that beautiful thing with Peter where he just loves on Peter. And all the guys are watching. He didn't just say, Peter, come over here, I want to talk to you. All the guys are watching. And he does this beautiful thing with Peter. And my heart was turned to that. And I thought, well, but why did he choose the last time he was with his men to be at a campfire on the side of a lake? And the reason why is because he just spent 3.5 years with his closest men walking town to town every night under the stars. He sat with them and joked and trained his closest men, the most important men, under the stars at sunrise every morning. They ate breakfast and he trained them and prepared them for the day. And so the question to the pastors, to the ministries out there, is why don't we use that model he gave us? Why don't we sit around more campfires and train up the men? So that is my pitch for an outdoor ministry.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love what you're doing, and it's impacting kids. And not only that, the Holy Spirit is in it, and it's expanding geometrically. So here's the big question, man. I'm a guy. I want to learn more about your organization. How do I do it? Where do I go?
Just go to kidsoutdoorzone.com and click on start a group, and you'll get a prompt. You can fill it out. You can email from there, get more information. Just go to the website. It's got videos. It's got everything you need on there.
I know, I just watched your ugly mug today on one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, so, and let me say one thing.
Yeah.
So when you step into ministry, when a man steps into ministry with his heart, God will reveal and bless you and do things with your heart that you don't understand till you do it. And so I was at a Baptist conference last year, and a guy walked by and said, "Hey man, do you speak at wild game dinners?" I said, "Well, yeah, call my office, see if I can be there. If I can, I'd love to come do it." Right. And so I get booked for this wild game dinner. And in November this year, I jump in the car with my wife and my kids, and we drive down to Nassau Bay, Texas. It's a little town right outside of Houston. And we park in the parking lot of this little Baptist church, Nassau Bay Baptist Church. And brother, that is the church that had the Goodwill box in the corner.
Oh my gosh.
When I slept in that Goodwill box at 13, and God said, "I'm going to bring you back and heal a part of your heart." And I stood on the stage at the church when I was 13, a lost little boy. And he let me speak to the men of that community and challenge them. Do not let the boys in this community go unnoticed. He rescues our hearts, but we have to give him our hearts. And no better way than to, and for the guys that are listening to this, watching this podcast, good job, man. Good job. You're in the 1%. And man, you call, we'll come, because you're in the 1%.
You will show up, and you've been showing up for 15 years. So appreciate you, brother. So great to have you on the show. We're going to connect offline, man, but I appreciate you. God bless your ministry.
God bless. Mount up.
Hey guys, as you know, our man laws are mostly supplied by you, and if we use yours, we want to send you some swag to say thank you. This is man law number 99, and here it is. This is for you younger guys out there. Life is more serious than you think it is between the ages of 14 and 24 years old. The life rule here, guys, is this. Don't do anything that might lead you into bondage, no matter how fun it may seem at the time. I talk to guys over and over again, and they have so many regrets and so many issues from what they did when they were younger, and they still have not overcome those things. So, guys, live pure, live right, live biblically, and live without regrets. Men, before we close, I want to say that Men in the Arena is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. If this ministry is helping you become your best version of Christ, please consider supporting our ministry, becoming one of our financial champions. You can do so at meninthearena.org. Until next time, feel the wet sand on the arena floor. Hear the deafening roar of the crowd. Taste the sweetness of victory. Smell the stench of battle. Get in the game. Get dirty. Grind it out. And be a man.